Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 1 to 16. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, This is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to the shepherds of Israel, who only take care of themselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with the wool, and slaughter the choice animals. But you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak, or healed the sick, or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays, or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. They were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched or looked for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, because my flock lacks a shepherd, and so has been plundered, and has become food for all the wild animals, and because my shepherds did not search for my flock, but cared for themselves rather than for my flock, therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against the shepherds, and I will hold them accountable for my flock. I will remove them from tending the flock so that the shepherds can no longer feed themselves. I will rescue my flock from their mouths, and it will no longer be food for them. For this is what the sovereign Lord says. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them back into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines and all the settlements in the land. I will tend them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice.
John 10 for our second reading. I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he's brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate, and whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come so that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. At these words, the Jews were again divided. Many of them said, "He is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him?" But others said, "These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?"
Loving Lord Jesus, please would we hear your voice addressing us as we study your words now, recorded for us here in the Bible. And we ask it for your glory. Amen. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." And we might say, "Who?" Because unless we've read the Old Testament, those words might mean very little to us. Of course, we all know what a shepherd is. We can picture Jesus with a shepherd's crook in his hand and a lamb tucked under his arm. We can picture him as a good shepherd. But he doesn't say, "I'm a good shepherd." He says, "I am the good shepherd." And that might not too much to us. But to Jewish ears, it's a huge claim. The Old Testament is full of shepherd language. One of God's favourite ways of speaking of his people Israel is as his sheep. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture, the psalmist says. And God had appointed the leaders of Israel to shepherd the sheep for him. But again and again, as we read through the Old Testament, we find that they had neglected the sheep and exploited them. They'd been bad shepherds, and the sheep had become scattered. They'd turned away from God and wandered down paths that had left them lost and in need of rescue. And the Bible says that what the Israelites have done, we have all done. We have all turned away from God and ended up lost and a long way from home. In that reading we had a moment ago, God had spoken to those leaders through the prophet Ezekiel to condemn them. And in his love, he promised that he would come himself and be the good shepherd that his people so desperately needed. He would come in person and search for the lost and bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. It was a day that the people longed for. And Jesus is saying, "I am that shepherd. I am God. Come to seek out my sheep who are lost and scattered and in need of rescue." It's a staggering claim. It's a wonderful claim. And as we read his words this morning, we'll see that they're not only addressed to Israel, but to people of all nations. They're addressed to you and me. What we need is the good shepherd who will come and find us and lead us back to the safety of God's care. And that's what the Lord Jesus has come to do. And I hope we'll be able to see three wonderful truths that this passage tells us about him. Here's the first. The Lord Jesus knows his sheep. Please look down with me at verse 1 again of chapter 10. "I tell you the truth," Jesus says. "The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Well, the sheep pen that Jesus is speaking about here is a large enclosure in a village where several families would have kept their different flocks of sheep. And between them, they would hire a watchman to look after the sheep and to guard the gates. And when the shepherd of one of the flocks came along, the watchman would recognize him and open the gate for him. Now, the shepherd would make a distinctive call, and his own sheep would respond, and they would run out bleating happily, and he would lead them off to the pasture. Now, the shepherd didn't just call out to the sheep in general, hoping that a few of them might take an interest in him. He knew exactly which sheep were his, and he called them. Now, there's even some evidence that shepherds had nicknames for their sheep, like Long Ears and Spotty. And Jesus is saying that he has come to call out his sheep like that. Now, I'm not suggesting that he's got nicknames for his sheep. He doesn't call us Long Ears and Spotty. But he knows his sheep. He knows them because his Father has given them to him. And we'll see later that it is for these sheep that he has come to die. He hasn't come for everyone. Not all people will be saved. Nor does he offer a general invitation, just hoping that some might take an interest in him and follow him. He knows his sheep, and he calls them personally and individually by name. Now, we need to pay attention to the context. Chapter 10 follows on from chapter 9, which we read last week. And Jesus is speaking to the same people here that he was speaking to last week. So the sheep pen that he's speaking of is Israel, or Judaism. The thieves and robbers are the Jewish leaders who deny the blessings that Jesus has come to bring and mistreat the sheep. And the sheep here are those he has come to call out of Judaism, of which the blind man is one example who we encountered last week. Here is someone who heard Jesus' voice. Remember, he couldn't see Jesus at the time. He heard Jesus' voice and responded to his call. But Jesus hasn't only got Israel in mind. Later on, look down to verse 16. Jesus says, "I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd." He's referring to the spread of the gospel around the world, down through the centuries, by which he will call people of all nations to follow him. And he's saying that he knows every one of them by name. Now, that doesn't mean that he's got a long list of names that he's waiting to tick off as people come to him, like passengers boarding a jumbo jet. It means that he knows all about his sheep. He loves his sheep, and he knows who we really are. Even before you were born, as you were being formed in your mother's womb, he knew you. He knew you as you were growing up, as you took your first steps on your first day at school, through those confusing teenage years, as you started your first job. He knows all the things you've achieved that you're so proud of. He knows all your regret and the shame you feel. He knows the pain you've lived through, the broken relationships, the loved ones who have died, the bad decisions you've made. He knows about all of that. He knows you better even than you know yourself. And he says, come and follow me. Don't listen to the voice of strangers. Politicians don't know your names. The bands you listen to don't know who you are. TV stars don't know anything about you. The people who write the magazines you read, they don't know you. Your bosses don't know you, not really. Even your friends and your family don't know who you really are. But I know you. And I've come to take care of you. Come and follow me. The Lord Jesus knows his sheep. Secondly, the Lord Jesus gives life to his sheep. Look down at verse 7. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Well, the Pharisees that Jesus is speaking to don't understand what he's saying, and so he changes the image slightly. Now he seems to be speaking of a second kind of sheep pen that you would find out in the countryside. Rather than being a communal pen that you'd find in the villages, it was just for a single flock. It would have been little more than a circle of rocks with an opening in it. And once the shepherd had herded the flock into the pen, he would have laid across the opening to keep them in. He effectively became the gate. And the point is that the gate is the only way for the sheep to enter the safety and security of the pen, and the only way for them to go out to the plenty of the pasture. And Jesus is saying, I am that gate. He's saying that he is the only way into salvation. And he is the only way to find security and contentment. Others had come before him claiming to be the Messiah, but they were thieves and robbers, he says. They came only to steal and destroy the sheep. Rather than lead them out to pasture, they took them straight off to the market. And he's probably thinking of some of the nationalistic revolutionaries who had promised freedom, but only delivered bloodshed and disappointment. But he has come, on the other hand, that his sheep might have life to the full. But that's just about the opposite of what we tend to think. Our working assumption is that it's just about everyone else who offers life to the full, not Jesus. We tend to think that following him will mean missing out on life. But it turns out we couldn't have got it more wrong. See, if a sheep is going to enjoy life to the full, it needs a shepherd who will lead it out to lush pasture. And if we are going to enjoy life in its fullness, we need a shepherd who will lead us into a relationship with God. And that is exactly what Jesus came to do. Following him doesn't mean surrendering life, but receiving life in its fullness. It's the contented life of sheep who find themselves in the hands of the good shepherd. Storms and dangers may come, but in his hands they are safe and well nourished, contentedly feasting on the richest pasture they have ever experienced. It's what David speaks of in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. It's what Paul speaks of in Philippians chapter 4. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. See, to have life and to have it to the full is to be alive and to have life in abundance. And that means that you and I need something other than more of the same. Now, we won't find life to the full by simply pursuing deeper relationships or greater thrills or amassing more wealth and stuff or finding fresh challenges. Now, there might be some pleasure in those things. But as we've read through John's Gospel, he's made it clear that what we need is something completely new. Remember Nicodemus in chapter 3. We need more than just to turn over a new leaf and make a new start. We need to receive a new life altogether. We need to be born again. Think of the woman at the well in chapter 4. Once, like her, we didn't know what it was to be loved. But in Jesus, we find someone who quenches our deepest thirst and satisfies the innermost longings of our hearts. Think of the blind man in chapter 9. Once we all lived in darkness, spiritually blind to God. But now in Christ, we can know God and experience life as he intends it, in all its glorious shades and colours. If we don't know the God who made us, then we can't know what life is for. Without him, we cannot come close to living life to the full, no matter how hard we try. But Jesus came to restore us to the God who made us and to free us to live the life we were made for. The Lord Jesus knows his sheep. The Lord Jesus gives life to his sheep. Finally, the Lord Jesus lays down his life for his sheep. Please look at verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hard hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. When a wolf comes, you won't see the hard hand for dust. He'll be out of there. It's just a job. The sheep mean nothing to him. So he abandons them. Jesus, on the other hand, loves his sheep. He sees the danger we're in and willingly lays down his life to save us. And his death is not simply a gesture. If that's all it was, it would be a little bit like a man throwing himself off a cliff while shouting to his wife, "See how much I love you!" It would be utterly pointless, wouldn't it? And rather pathetic. Jesus' death was necessary to save us from danger. The Bible tells us that we are all like sheep who have walked out on God. We all, like sheep, have gone astray, it says in Isaiah 53. Each of us has turned to his own way. As a result, we're in danger. There is a danger of perishing. The wolf we need protecting from is God's judgment. And we need a good shepherd who won't abandon us in the face of that danger. Jesus is that good shepherd who chooses to lay down his life for his sheep. And what's mind-blowing is that as he lays down his life for us, he knows us. Look at verse 14. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. It isn't that Jesus just gave his life for sheep in general. He gave his life for his sheep, whom he knew. As he hung there on the cross, Jesus held his sheep in his heart. He knew our names. He saw your and my faces and the danger we are in. And because he loves us, he gave his life as a sacrifice to deal with our sin and save us from the judgment that is heading our way. And he did that willingly because of his great love. There will be times for all of us when we feel a long way from Jesus' love. Now, we won't always understand why this good shepherd leads us along some of the paths he does. And we'll wonder whether we can really trust him. We'll feel despondent and alone. Now, what do we do when those times come? Well, we need to remember that our feelings are deceptive. Our feelings go up and down. But Jesus' love is constant. If you're a Christian here this morning, you couldn't be any more loved by Jesus than you are now. He couldn't love you any more than he does right now at this moment in time. And he'll never love you any less than he does right now. If you want to know how loved you are, don't look inside at your feelings. Look to the cross. And wonderfully, Jesus goes on to say in verse 17 that the cross isn't the end of the story. It's not an end in itself. Now, the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. Jesus lays down his life, he says, only to take it up again. And this is his Father's plan. In other words, the grave couldn't hold him. Death wasn't the end. The Good Shepherd is alive today. And he's calling people to follow him. What's it like to hear that call? Well, as we end, let me be clear that to hear Christ's call is not the same thing as responding to emotional pressure from a friend or in a church service. It's not even the same as agreeing to call yourself a Christian or the member of a church. To hear Christ's call is to hear him address you personally through his word. Hear him tell you that you're spiritually blind about him and living in darkness, and to know that what he says is true. It's to know that you need him. To open your eyes so you can see. And to want that to happen. That he alone can give you life because he died to save you from God's judgment and that you must put your trust in him. If you're hearing Christ's call this morning, please don't put off responding. If you recognize his voice, come to him and let him. And if you've already responded, that you're in the hands of the good shepherd, and tell others about him.
What a privilege to think that
he might call others to himself through us. How eloquent or articulate we are. It doesn't matter that we don't know all the answers to the questions they might ask. Because as we share the gospel, he will call to follow him. Belong to him. Respond. Let's pray. We thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you that he came to seek us and to find us and to bring us into a new relationship with you. Thank you for his life, which he gave up for us. And thank you for the new life which he gives us. Please help us to hear his voice and to follow him faithfully each day. And please, loving Father, use us as we share the gospel with others, that Jesus might call them to himself for their good and for his glory. In his name we pray. Amen.